History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was the best football weekend of the year, largely because of Saturday and the great games in college football, highlighted, of course, by the game of the year, LSU and Alabama in Tuscaloosa, which is where Brady McCullough was. He covers college sports in a big picture way for the LA Times, so they sent him to the big game. Brady, good to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, great to talk to you again, Danny. It's been a while since Kansas City.
Yeah, it has, man. I appreciate the time. So I know how awesome it was to watch that game in person. It would have taken a lot to get me off my couch. How awesome was it to be there?
Yeah, I'd never covered a game in Tuscaloosa before, and it's definitely everything you would think it would be. It's fourth quarter, and they're blaring Dixieland Delight and doing this LED light show, and Bama's coming back, and the people in that stadium, they and rightfully so, they just don't believe that they could possibly lose, and even the way the game started, and you know, it was just until the last possible minute when Clyde Edwards-Helaire bounded through there for 12 yards and a first down to officially put the thing to rest. There was no one in that stadium who didn't think somehow Alabama was going to come back and win, and probably the LSU people included.
And I got to be honest, I felt that way watching. Like, they're down 20 at halftime, but if Tua doesn't drop the ball inexplicably on the first drive of the game, they're up 7-0. They're probably in it the whole way. I came out of that game very impressed by LSU, but thinking if they played 10 games on a neutral field, it's probably 5-5, maybe 6-4 towards LSU. I thought the two teams were very close. What about you?
Yeah, you definitely can't discount the mistakes that Alabama made in the first half that were so uncharacteristic. We can't deny the fact that, after the big ovation for Trump, the next play is to us just ridiculous fumble. And then things go awry from there. Yeah, it's hard to know on a neutral field. I think that the teams are pretty even. But there was something about LSU's mentality, and honestly, there has been all year. They just really, really, they've totally changed their mentality as a program. They're no longer coached not to lose. Ed Orgeron has let go with and entrusted Joe Burrow and Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, and they don't ever change their mentality offensively, no matter what the game flow is. Middle of the first quarter is the same as the middle of the fourth quarter. There's no, got to watch the clock, got to slow things down, we got to be conservative, don't want to make a mistake. No, LSU just plays their game the entire way, and it's rare to find a team that is allowed to play that way. And Coach O just believes in these guys, and you see that in the way they play. I just think they are a better team than Alabama right now. But yeah, I mean, I think that, and this will probably lead into the next discussion, but yeah, it's hard to ignore Alabama, and it's hard to say they're not one of the top four teams in the country.
Right, and it does lead into the next discussion as we're talking to Brady McCullough, who covers college sports from a big-picture perspective for the Los Angeles Times. I'm not saying that Vegas should be the end-all, be-all for determining the college football playoff. The games have to matter on the field, and if Bama lost three games, they still would probably be favored over Oregon, for example, or Penn State on a neutral field. So I get that Vegas can't be everything, but I do think common sense, and it should be something, and I'd be fine if it was a tiebreaker, say, for the one-loss teams. How do you think we should be differentiating when we get beyond LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State? How should we be differentiating these one-loss teams when it comes for the playoff committee time?
Well, that is the big question, and I think maybe it's just me looking at this as a lifetime fan of college football. Maybe I'm not the right guy to ask, but I want to see something different. And so that's probably coloring my look here. And the committee can't look at it that way. They have to look at, okay, they have to have a, you know, defined thing. You know, it looked like in the first week by putting Ohio State over LSU, they were saying that the eye test and dominance is a little more important than, you know, your resume. LSU had the better wins than Ohio State, yet they had Ohio State won. So if you read off of that, then you're going to say, well, Alabama looks like a more dominant football team than Georgia or Penn State or Oregon or Utah or Oklahoma. So it kind of, I would almost, the committee, it seems like every year their metrics kind of change and what they prioritize changes. But I just, who in the rest, in the country wouldn't want to see one of these other teams get in the playoff? Even though we all know Alabama is a very, very good team. I mean, they had their shot. They lost at home. Yes, they lost to a great team, but you only get so many shots to prove what you prove your worth. And they got to play at Auburn. That's another, you know, if they go into Auburn and blow them out, well, then that's going to weigh, you know, that's going to have weight, but they're not going to be a conference champion. And the biggest game of the year was on their home field, and you can use Tua's injury as an excuse. And it's sure, I don't think he was 100%, but at the end of the day, don't we want to see some new blood in the college football playoffs? I as a fan, I think you do.
Yeah, I do. If they deserve it, honestly, I don't mind watching the best teams. Like, I think the reason why that game was awesome yesterday is because those are two of the three or four best teams in the country. And if it was if LSU's the best team and they played the sixth or seventh best team in the country, I don't think it would have been as good of a game. So it doesn't bother me if I feel like I'm seeing the teams that are the most talented.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing here, of course, is this totally mirrors 2011, the last time LSU beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa or at all. They then have to play them again for the national championship. Alabama gets in to that game in the two spot, and they redo it, and they lose 21-0. And I'm in Baton Rouge. I'm talking to an old friend of mine. Who's an LSU grad, and yeah, I mean, they all are just resigned to having to slay the dragon again in the playoff, and that's just the way things go. You're going to have Gary Danielson stumping for the next month on CBS broadcasts, and yeah, it's hard to argue. You know, or you don't know, but just you get a feeling based on so far. That Alabama is a better football team than any of these other one-loss teams. You know, the for people who don't want Alabama in the playoff, the best thing that could happen for you is that Georgia beats LSU, and LSU bumps Bama out because they beat Bama.
Brady McCullough covers college sports for the LA Times. He was at LSU-Bama in Tuscaloosa yesterday. Which NCAA issue is dumber, the one with Memphis basketball or the one with Chase Young and Ohio State football?
Yeah, I think that the Ohio State football one is a little dumber. Off the top of my head, you know, I think that if Penny Hardaway was involved in arranging, you know, intrastate moves or moves across the state, you know, to get James Wiseman to play, you know, on one of his teams while a prep player, and then he happens to then be the Memphis coach, and you know, Wiseman goes to Memphis. I mean, that seems like there's a lot going on there. That's very complex. You know, one of the biggest issues the NCAA is facing, obviously, is the issues of, you know, should players be compensated? What should they get for their name, image, and likeness, and all of that? And you look at something as trifling. If this is indeed what the Chase Young thing is about, as a guy, you know, theoretically getting some help so his family can go to the Rose Bowl, you know, this is something that the NCAA actually allows. If you're in the Final Four or you're in the College Football Playoff, your family is allowed to get help to get to those games. this is the Rose Bowl. This is the granddaddy of them all. Ohio State's going out there. He wants, you know, some people in his circle, you know, to be able to go out there and enjoy that. And, you know, these things are so, but that to me seems just very, like, this is the whole point, is someone of Chase Young's caliber should be able to do things to capitalize off of their fame while they are in college, making money for these universities. And that one seems very just, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. A couple of quick hitters here before we let you go. Who's the next football coach at USC?
Oh, boy, you hit me right in the one that I can't stop thinking about. I think that there's a lot of talk around town about the new president at USC. You know, can she allow a place? She's trying to clean up that university. She's trying to bring integrity back. That's a big thing. So you're in that way. Can Urban Meyer be, you know, the head football coach, given the checkered, you know, things morally, integrity wise? I think they need, Urban Meyer is going to have enough of a push from the boosters and people at that university. They're going to convince the president that this is what needs to be done. They've suffered enough in the last decade for being so good in the early 2000s. And I think that if I had to say, I just think USC is going to pull the trigger and it's going to be Urban.
What about Florida State?
Florida State is a tough one. You know, I'm interested in Mike Norvell at Memphis. This is it's a little off the beaten path, but he's done a really good job there. Plays a style that would fit with what they've already been trying to install down there offensively. You know, I know Mike Leach probably wants to get involved. I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen. And if things go south the rest of the season at Auburn, you know, is Gus Malzahn a move that Florida State can make? And I think a really good move they can make if they can make that happen.
Brady McCullough covers college sports for the LA Times. Who's going to win the national championship, college football?
Oh, I hate to say it, but Ohio State.
You hate to say it?
Yeah, I hate to say it. I can't help it. I'm a Michigan grad. But,
okay, yeah. That's a good reason.
But I think they look like they've got it all. I think LSU is right up there with them. And shoot, if Bama gets in the playoff, yeah, all bets are off. And hey, Clemson, what do? They won the national championship last year. They haven't lost this year. So it could be. I think it's going to be a great playoff. I think this is an exciting, really fun college football season. I think it's only going to get better. I think this is going to be one of the better playoffs we've had.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.